Click kaya959.co.za to download the Kaya Biz podcast.
You're listening to Kaya Biz here on Kaya959. Last week, you might recall when we started the week, we told you about the expectations that we do need to look forward to regarding feedback from FATF, the Financial Action Task Force, an industry body that globally takes care of making sure that countries, companies are all fully held accountable in minimizing any access to money laundering or the funding of terrorist attacks. Wednesday, we had some feedback just to get an understanding of the expectations we should have, and Friday came by with some good news. South Africa, together with our peers across the continent like Burkina Faso, Nigeria and Mozambique, have officially exited the grey list by FATF. But what does this mean? It's heralded great success. It's led to a sigh of relief for all of us as South Africans, especially members of the business community. But before we rest on our laurels, there's some key lessons from this that we need to be mindful of and also need to continue implementing in the country. To tell us more about this, we join on the line by the CEO of Business Leadership South Africa, Busisiwe Mavuso. Such a pleasure to have you back on the show as always, Sis Busi. Thank you so much for making time.
Thank you. Thanks for inviting me, Kuku. I hope I'm audible.
Loud and clear. We've got you fully audible today. I know that you're someone who's incredibly busy in the business fraternity and often, you know, working with policymakers to make sure that things just get better in South Africa. And finally, after some time and lots of hard work, it seems as though we have some good news to finally celebrate. But help us contextualize what this means in terms of confidence, market sentiment for the South African economy.
Thank you very much, Kuku. So I think this is definitely a brilliant effort and good work, phenomenal job actually, that has been put by the National Treasury over the last 32 months, because they've done a brilliant job of ensuring that we actually coordinate the process of putting the necessary reforms in place that can actually get us out of the grey listing, you know, as a country. From an impact perspective, this definitely matters, because remember, what the grey listing meant from an economic perspective was that it was a reputational risk on the conduct of the country. It meant that we fell under the jurisdictions who are under increased monitoring. So the country risk was heightened because of that. So we were treated with higher scrutiny as a country. It meant that there had to be enhanced due diligence for South African companies, which meant that there was increased compliance and administration and red tape, you know, as a company operating in South Africa. It also meant that individuals that are engaging with the international financial institutions in particular have higher due diligence as conducted on them and more scrutiny applied to them. It meant that there was a reduced appetite for South African relationships. It meant that some of the funding that could have came from South Africa, you know, would have had to be put on a higher risk category if it came to South Africa, because South Africa was grey listed, and that would have impacted investment inflows. It meant that from a capital markets perspective, there was going to be a minor impact in the short run, as bonds and equity had no automatic response to grey listing, but they definitely were priced in, so it affected the markets. And I think it also meant that we could have actually lost about 1-3% of the GDP, depending on how seriously South Africa was perceived to be working towards the FATF compliance. So it didn't look good for us, Kuku, whichever way you chose to look at it. We needed to get off the grey listing as a country that is trying to attract foreign direct investment. This was just a negative dent, you know, on the many things that are currently, you know, are negative in South Africa at the moment. So we're very glad as the business community that under the leadership of National Treasury, we've managed to get out of the grey listing just a short 32 months after we were grey listed in February 2023.
Certainly a valiant effort and one that is underpinned by collaboration. And this is the theme that often stands out for me every time we see business, government, civil society pulling together to make sure that for the benefit of the country, we see ourselves in a better position. We have COVID to reference, of course, the looting and unrest, and now South Africa's efforts to get off the FATF grey listing. I'm keen for you, you know, if you can take us indulge us into some of the boardroom talks, the heightened engagement, and more so going beyond the policy, but also implementing these policy shifts and reforms into practice to make sure that we've been able to get off the grey list. What has that journey been like over the last 2 years for you as a representative of business and your counterparts? But more so, what are the lessons that we need to take out of these collaborative effects?
So it was quite intense, and obviously, as you said, it was a collaboration of politicians, government, technical competence, and business, you know, coming together with government to make sure that we can actually deal with all of these issues that we needed to deal with. First and foremost, it was important that there was a central accounting mechanism, Google, a central accounting unit, so that we are clear whom all the, you know, coordination and the efforts are driven by, you know, so that there is one accounting authority, if I may call it that way. So we all reported to National Treasury in terms of what needed to be done. There was clear accountability. National Treasury chaired an interdepartmental committee that coordinated the process. They reported regularly to cabinet. They maintained a very laser focus on the action plan. And thirdly, because this was a peer-based mechanism, FATF is a peer-based mechanism, we knew very well who was going to judge us. So we knew how we needed to satisfy their requirements. So that clarity on not just the outputs, but the outcomes was absolutely necessary. So we had to make the necessary shifts that would result in certain outcomes, you know, after all was said and done. So it was not just a game of outputs, but a game of outcomes. And the fourth one was that there was collaboration between business and government. As you've actually said, banks and other accountable institutions worked very closely with the committee, allocating resources to support the training of criminal investigators and other interventions. There was a sustained effort by law enforcement agencies, you know, the Hawks, the State Security Agency, the NPA, demonstrated sustained increases in investigations and prosecutions of serious and complex money laundering and terror financing. There was also technical excellence of regulators. I really think the Financial Intelligence Center, the Reserve Bank, the Financial Sector Conduct Authority, CIPC, and all the other agencies had to actually upgrade their systems, apply effective sanctions, and they actually had to ensure that there was timely access to beneficial ownership information. And there was transparency and regular reporting, Kuku. That is important because it's one thing, you know, to say to CIPC, go away and make sure that you deal with the issue of beneficial ownership. But it's another thing to actually say, tell us what you have put in place. You know, how far are you, you know, in terms of what you are going to put in place? If there were 10 things that you needed to do, you know, how far are you in as far as those 10 things are concerned? And after you've applied them, are they actually effective and are they working the way they've been envisioned? And the last one, Kuku, is that we were not just fixing policies. Mm. We were fixing operations, and yes, that was important because these are reforms that had to be put in place. So they actually had to be implemented to ensure that we have sustained improvements and genuine effectiveness, mm-hmm, you know, of these institutions. So operations in the process were actually fixed as well, which is a brilliant thing.
100%. And that's something that we have also gotten to experience as South Africans in terms of our financial interactions, whether it's disclosures regarding beneficial ownership for anyone finding their company returns, or even further disclosures regarding who the end recipient of any cross-border payments might be, even within the SADC region. So that just shows us how business has really implemented this right at the core face of our economy and any interactions there. Sisibusi, before we wrap up, as we've often seen, it's great that we've made this collaborative effort. It's great that we have something positive to celebrate, but we can't rest on our laurels. In a few weeks' time, we'll have the B20 summit, where we know business itself continues to engage heavily with government, even through recommendations, to make sure that South Africa's G20 presidency is one that's set apart and has really made a tangible and sustainable impact. Coupled with that, we also want to make sure that we continue to meet our growth objectives to alleviate the economic challenges we have in the country. How do we take this going forward now to make sure that we continue with the momentum of positivity and confidence and rebuilding trust in South Africa's economy?
So, Kuku, if you look at the horror movie that we are all watching as South Africans at the moment, yeah, called the Madlangha Commission,
sure,
it is repulsive, mm-hmm, just how much of our criminal justice system has been willingly handed over to thieves. So, Kuku, we needed this. We needed to make sure that there are these stringent anti-money laundering rules and supervision, you know, as a country. So we have not just put superficial interventions in place, Kuku. This is now the law. You know, as you are saying, from a CPC perspective, there are certain disclosures that you actually are needed to make. So it is now going to be illegal. So CPC can't change that just now we've exited the grey list.
Yeah.
It has now been entrenched and it's been institutionalized. It has now been embedded in their processes. That understanding who is behind Mavuso Incorporated, if there's a Mavuso Trust, who is behind Mavuso Trust? If under Mavuso Trust there is a Mavuso Pty Ltd, who's behind Mavuso Pty? If under Mavuso Pty Ltd there's Mavuso Foundation, right? So they actually have to go down to the bottom of in whose hands does the money go to? So those are permanent processes, because reforms are permanent, Kuku. So it was not an artificial process. It was not something that we did just for this time, and we are actually going to stop doing. And we are actually, you're right, when you're actually saying we can't rest on our laurels, January, FATF is coming back to actually review if we are continuing, you know, with a sustained focus. You know, they come back, I think, every 6 months, if I'm not mistaken. So we are going to have to make sure, you know, that we actually upkeep these interventions that we've put in place, because the FATF community is actually going to be watching. If we are not careful, if we are going to actually stop doing what we're doing, if we are going to undermine the process that we've been put in place, Kuku, there is a very high risk that South Africa in January 2027, short 3 months after we've been removed out of the grey listing, we might just be grey listed again in January if we're not careful. But I'm confident that because these have been institutionalized, you know, that risk is actually minimal. We are actually going to sustain the interventions and the process that we've put in place.
100%. Thank you so much for your time. As always, Sibusi, really appreciate the feedback, and we'll be monitoring closely the visit again by FATF that will take place in the first quarter of next year. Thank you again for your time tonight.
Thank you very much, Kuku.
Busisiwe Mavuso is the CEO of Business Leadership South Africa.
Click kaya959.co.za to download the Kaya Biz podcast.